It's the podcast on a Tuesday.
Podcast on... Eclipse was yesterday. Whoa. Did you tune in?
Did you get raptured? Because I see you sit
there. I see you sit there. Made me feel good when I drove up in your car with other.
Your car's not going to get raptured.
True.
Let me turn you down. Yeah.
Did you watch it? I washed my car during it.
No, did you watch the... I washed it.
I washed while watched. Well, I'll be honest. They were like, definitely don't look up. And I'm like, what's a little glance? I can't see. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what I thought Eclipse sunglasses were, but I put them on in the house. I thought it was going to be like a little tinted.
Nope, I could not see it. I got turned there.
Yeah, we were what, 87%?
Yeah.
So I want to be honest, unless you were in a hundo, this is worthless.
It wasn't worthless. It was apocalyptic is what my son said.
Apocalyptic.
It said, if zombies were to sprout, they'd sprout right now.
I said, it's like a cloud came over the sun.
What was crazy is the day was beautiful yesterday, we had cloud coverage right at 3:20.
Yeah. So I'm like, is that the eclipse or is that a strategic cloud?
I even busted my son out of school early.
That was a waste.
We went to Olive Garden.
That was rude, not inviting me.
Yeah,
it's
because I didn't have any glasses for you, so I didn't want to be like, okay,
it lasted a few minutes. You handed them around. The neighbor let me bomb. I was like, I'm glad I didn't pay for it. But the next time this happens is in 2044.
My son will be 34.
Wow, you and I will
And I'll be 35.
Look at the with the bow tie.
Well, welcome to the Baking Down Podcast. We are your hosts, the twins, Corey and Heather. Heather and Corey, depending on who you like most. And we are a offshoot from a group on Facebook called the Sugar Cookie Marketing Group. Have I let people in recently? No.
I want to say this. And I appreciate you guys who message the page and say, I've been pending for 5 years. Blessed souls. Like, I really like the podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm on episode 60 where you guys said you're not opening it up. That was 2 years ago. Are you still not? Because I'm still pending. If you have been listening to the podcast, send a message to the Sugar Cookie Marketing page and I'll get you in. I'll cut that line.
Sometimes if life is busy, that is the last thing on my to-do checklist.
That is so rude.
And if it's right before bed and my eyes are closed.
Here's my question about when you go to bed. After 8:30, you don't read my messages, but I know you're awake.
No, I've been going to bed at 8:30 recently. No,
you're awake. Last night, my husband was like, it's 9. I can't believe I was asleep. I said, oh, yeah. This is insane. So anyways, if you want to join that Facebook group, it's a great group, but we are able to take some.
Seem biased.
It's absolutely phenomenal. The best group I have ever been in. But we take some of the issues that we see talked about in the group and we bring them to the podcast to wax old about.
So you can bake while you learn and gossip with us.
This one is a gossipy one.
It is a little bit of gossipy.
I post about it this. I saw it all weekend because I download TikTok and uninstall it. But before I uninstall it, I caught this drama that I think actually applies well to cookies.
Let's do. Dive in. I've been on sourdough TikTok, so I have not clued in.
I'm not completely dialed in. I did let the Cookie College go do deep dive.
Okay.
And I have read their comments, so I will translate that. There is a restaurant, and you guys can go Google this.
In Canada. Vancouver.
Called Heirloom Restaurant. I have it pulled up right here.
Heirloom. Which does sound like heirloom tomato.
I think that was the point. So it starts off as a vegetarian restaurant. It's been around 12 years, which is a long time.
That is pretty long.
Yeah. And when COVID hit and everything had to close, they never really, when they were allowed to reopen, they never really bounced back, this vegetarian restaurant. So they said, we're going to add meat back onto the menu, see if we can capture some of like new foot traffic because we're not surviving.
So a vegetarian place turns non-vegetarian.
Turns into just a regular restaurant. Okay. Of course, for I guess probably 9 years up until that point, they had cultivated an audience of vegetarians.
Yeah.
And vegans. I think it might have even been vegan. Like it was something that was very much in one direction and then it completely changed its direction. Okay. But that was the only way they were going to survive, according to them. So anyways, 4 years post-COVID, they still can't pull it out. They still can't turn it around. So they shut down the restaurant. But the only announcement taped to their door is, we are closed. Congrats, Deborah. You finally won.
Who's
Hook, line, and sinker.
Who is Deb?
I know everything about Deborah. So the internet, of course, gets a hold of it. First, it starts off with this lady. She's walking to the restaurant. It's a TikTok. And she only points the camera at the door and says, and then turns it back to herself and said, Deborah, what did you do? This is my favorite restaurant. That's all the TikTok is.
Okay.
But then, so then you're immediately on the side of the restaurant. Like, whatever Deborah did,
yeah,
she's a Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer.
A Debbie Close Downer. And then, of course, TikTok and Reddit just splunkering into
they
the cave.
They love a good
who doesn't
crime scene. Right?
Crime scene investigation, CSI. And they find that this restaurant, okay, you know, this is what the Cookie College people said. There's a type of restaurant, I don't remember what it's called. It's like popular where you go there and you are going there to be mistreated by the staff.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I cannot remember the name.
Right. And they were talking about that. They think that this edgy personality was what the business owner kind of wanted to lean into to kind of have this like, oh, like, you know.
But I think like a vegetarian, I feel like.
We had a meat back, so maybe he's going to chew you up and stretch you out. And he put in the jerk and beef jerky. Yeah. So when you go through the reviews of this restaurant, it's like, you know, I'm kind of first it starts off with a bad review from Deborah saying, I'm disappointed that they added meat back to the menu. Something to that effect. Again, I'm just regurgitating what I've read. And they're like, you are a loser. Like, I couldn't even read some of the replies to you because I think that they're going to be – oh, so here's one. So Alex, 4 weeks ago before the restaurant closes, right? I honestly used to love this place, but it's not as nearly as good as it used to be. I ordered the kale Caesar and it was terrible. The lettuce was so sad and the dressing was so bland. I hope they improve and go back to the way it used to be. Sad face. Okay. Response from the owner, Alex, with three names. Our kale Caesar is fantastic. The three names give you away. Deborah.
Oh, Deborah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I see. It's mudslinging online.
But here's the wild part is even the good reviews have these kind of insane replies. So someone, Ashley says, best brunch, lunch, and healthy dinner in town. Also, don't forget to pick up the cookie for the road. You won't be disappointed. Response from the owner, hot moms are a thing.
What?
So is
how
this,
did they last 12 years?
I don't know. They said that it all changed. So someone just, Jack just leaves a 1-star review. There's no words. The only reply is Deb. Lindy, with an I, says no wine list. So we were offered 3 options on wines, but no prices. And then she goes, the prices were outrageous. We'll not recommend this restaurant, nor will we return. We do apologize. Our wine list was late to be printed that evening. The wine is excellent and priced accordingly. You have been told the prices absent of the printed list. For that, we do apologize. We do have you back. Glass of wine on us next time. Like, what in the world?
Okay. So then go into more so what the podcast topic is about.
Replying to reviews. So the more you dig into these, and I'm sure that, you know, if stuff goes viral like this, now it's made big news headlines and stuff. And then people love to go and leave bad reviews.
We actually had a client.
Yeah. That I think we did a podcast on this.
We did, but I feel like it was 1 bazillion years ago.
It was. Go ahead.
It was, I want to say a Burger Gate. It was Burger Gate. This customer ordered a burger. It didn't have like a pickle on it. So he hand delivers a pickled burger at 10 o'clock at night. Weird move on the restaurant owner's part. The lady feels like she's being kind of like not, but like cornered because she left a bad review.
What's her name, Deborah?
What's her name? I can't remember.
Yeah,
her name
I agree. To show up in some, to leave a bad review. And it wasn't a 1-star review, it was a 3-star review.
Yeah.
To leave a review on your honest experience and then have someone knocking your door at night, I think it was a bad move on the burger.
It absolutely was. At 10 o'clock at night with a burger, like, I've been asleep for 2 hours. Yeah. This
if you talk to the restaurant owner, he would be like, he was basically telling us, like, I slaved for hours to make the precious burger, the best burger of the burgers. And I'm like, but she thought you were trying to, you know,
yeah, break the two in. Stories were so far apart that he went viral. In all the wrong ways.
Yeah, and then he kind of took a little chapter from Heirloom Restaurant, and the replies are ridiculous.
Then we stepped in. I wish we would have stepped in just a tinge bit early.
Would have been nicer before he went to the UK viral side of things.
Well, actually, I was like, Heather, I'm going to check out this store, and I want to see if, like, what the vibe is. I don't usually even go, like, you know when, like, someone stares at you walking into a small business? That's not my favorite thing. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Is this a cleaner?
I'm the only person here. I would not be here at all.
But when I watched it, he was so sad looking. And it was almost like.
He lied to us.
Huh?
He lied to us.
Wouldn't you?
I don't know. I feel like
he was scared for his life.
Do you think, in hindsight, we ended up working with a man for a couple years.
Yeah.
For maybe a year.
Yeah.
Do you think he was honest?
I think there's two sides of the story. And the truth is somewhere between them.
Anyway, so the way he replied to reviews escalated everything. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is Google and Yelp was popular at the time will mitigate the ability to even leave him a review because we know that people are just leaving reviews too late.
Yeah, because it went viral. I mean, he's located in Sterling, Virginia, and people in the UK are leaving bad reviews. Mm-hmm. It ended up getting so big, it ended up on the Wendy Williams show. it was insane.
And if you saw this place, I would like to let you know it wasn't a stand. It was a hole in the wall of a strip mall that was already shuttering. Like, there was no reason this needed to have gotten as popular as it does, but he fed the fire.
He fed the fire.
He could have easily dissuaded this. So when we look at this heirloom restaurant scenario, it's another, the business owner, whether or not he was trying to do that tongue-in-cheek, we treat our customers poorly because that's how fun we are, or not, it's gone the wrong direction. Yeah. And they closed. So
the problem is we get so passionate as business owners that it feels like it's us against the world. You can do 99 things perfectly right, and that one thing that you didn't do right, someone's going to leave a review on it.
Well, here's a wild thing. You can do 100 things perfectly right, and it still doesn't please everybody.
Absolutely. You cannot please everybody. But as business owners, we feel like if I don't defend myself, no one will. Mm-hmm. If I don't stand up for myself, no one will. Uh-huh. And then you get this crazy internet viral story.
On the one side, and to validate that thought is, yes, the customer isn't always right. I heard that someone on TikTok, man, TikTok is great. Yeah. The day it gets banned is the day. I don't know what I'm going to do. But someone on TikTok said, the rest of the phrase of the customer is always right. The customer isn't always right unless it's in terms of taste. Like, at the end of the day, you want what you want, right?
And that's unfortunate because we are baking food. And everyone has different taste buds. Burnt mine off on a pizza yesterday. So it's so subjective. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you got a shirt and the shirt had a hole. Okay, that's fine. You know, it's
subjective. Like, is like, I don't like the taste. And the biggest example of this is the cilantro soap. The soap tastes of the almond extract. So if you guys don't know, you'll experience it. Some people taste almond extract as soap.
It's a gene mutation.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is when somebody's like, somebody left me a bad review, all the bakers in the group grab their pitchforks and fire sticks. And then they're like, what the review said, my stuff tastes like soap. And then everyone puts their pitchforks down and they're like, oh, yeah, the reason is this thing. So only because that one's proven is when people truly back away. But in reality, I see a lot of people creating a situation that never needed to be created because they add fuel to the fire and they're defensive.
Yes. And it's such a natural – it's so natural to be defensive because I've got to give you all the facts so you know that I wasn't out to get you.
And I don't want anybody else to think you're right.
Yes, because God forbid they read your review and don't order it for me. So now I must stand across from you and defend my kitchen.
To the death.
To the death.
Deborah? Got it. So we have a 10-step process.
10-step process. Heather's old boyfriend. If you're listening, Don, hello. Every time they got in a fight, he would send these words. And I love them. Now I use them all the time.
It wasn't screaming. I had like great points. And I was like, hey, here's what I asked you to do. Here's what you did otherwise. And I wrote this really nice.
Yeah, every time. And this is what he would say. You've been seen. You've been heard. You've been understood.
You when I broke up with him, that was so long.
You've been seen.
I don't want to see you. I don't understand why you date people. Are you hearing me?
So now Heather gets mad at me. I say, you've been seen.
You've been heard. Nothing escalates more than being seen, heard, and understood. So how to handle bad reviews. Number one, understand everyone listening to this podcast will get a bad review. And let me help soothe this one a bit. It has been shown that review profiles that aren't perfect 5 stars are more trustworthy. So really, I'm happy at a 4.8.
Yeah. We actually had one client. It was a cleaning company. They got a 1-star review. And I was like, oh, great. What did they do? It was like an older lady accidentally pressed 1-star. But the review she wrote was amazing. I was like, this is the best of both of
your bad reviews. No. Yeah. In a weird way, that would be ideal.
Great.
When I'm bad, I'm good. But just to understand, everyone will get a bad review sometimes. So as long once you just absorb that and you're prepared
and you release that energy into the world knowing that will happen, you'll be better for it.
I want to propose this thought. Think about it. Is if you were able to please everyone, what kind of person does that make you?
What kind of cookies are you baking?
Bland ones? So you're not going to be able to please everyone, and nor should you, and nor should you. Yes, it is great to always strive for our best, but there are times where, one, you may legitimately have had an off day.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there was a hair in that cookie. Mm-hmm. Maybe an aunt did crawl into that.
Do you remember
that?
Aunt Kate? That was hilarious. Tell them. Okay, I got to tell you. Back when the group was really just like a little baby group, there was a post that someone made in the group and a picture it was included with this post. This aunt that was in the center of the cookie.
Like this aunt was
It was touch. Like there was gluten. He was touched with gluten.
He was more cookie than aunt.
And then it said the customer said that there was ants in their cookie. And then the baker thinks that they put the ant in the cookie. But you could tell like his Legos were baked into
it. It was an ant plant.
Baked into the it was crazy.
That dude died the saddest death ever. And then they thought they should. Okay, so anyways. At the end of the day, ants are wild.
They're walking.
They are. They said today, TikTok's on, today there's more ants on this planet today than humans ever existed.
Oh, now that I feel less bad killing the ones that make it through the dough.
Actually, I have a little policy with ants. Listen, the inside's fine. The outside's good. If you cross a barrier, I'm not sleeping where you're eating. So, okay, everyone's going to get a bad review.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants you to be like, I'll get a bad review. Like,
I want you to be so... I went at when the day ends and you didn't get a bad review to be like disappointed.
Try again tomorrow. Yeah. Ants, are you ready? I need you to work harder carrying those cookie shells away. Number two, let's say now we got the bad review because we understood we were getting one. We're prepared for it. We know it. Yes. We're not angry.
No.
We're going to walk away a minimum of 24 hours. One, nobody needs a review reply immediately.
Damage is what? That's what we say.
Corey said, damage is done. Don't make it well done.
You can't, they can't unchew the cookie.
The ant can't be unpacked. So if you are just firing from the hip, the second the bad review comes, I'm going to say bad move.
I want to say though, it's totally natural to want to mitigate anything by giving a response really fast.
I can guarantee your response isn't well formed.
It's not because you're so emotional.
You're too emotional.
It's just the heat of the moment. It took you off guard. You were in line at your favorite coffee restaurant.
Your cortisol is high. I want you to put your phone down. I don't want to see you in that phone.
Here's the
and
thing.
A high cortisol level.
We can say
level.
That, but in the moment.
Let it soothe it, man. Go for a drive. Go kill some ants. I don't care.
At the end of the day, you can't undo the review. Emotion in a response can lead to even more emotion in the
We're at damage control. We're not well done damaging anymore.
Yeah, we're not.
So the only way we can do that, and just protocol. Like when things are protocol, even if it doesn't – that's why I like protocol, right? Yeah. Even if it doesn't make sense, follow protocol. There's a reason it's been written in a time where you were thinking clearly.
Protocol. 24 hours.
24 hours. Do not reply. Also, do not come to this Facebook group and tell us that you're the best and the client is a loser. You can say, and this is how I'd recommend, and I delete a ton of posts where people are like, the client's a liar and they do all these things. And I'm like, hey, listen, you're not going to get any help from us because you are baiting this group into lambasting the client. Yeah. Here's what you do. Here's the circumstances. Or here's the review. How should I reply to this? That's there's no emotion there. If you write emotionally in the sugar cookie marketing group, I guarantee what you're about to write.
The one thing I love that it takes big girl panties to do is someone writing like, here's the backstory. I messed up.
Yeah, but they only do that when they truly take accountability, when they truly
But it's so up. Hard to take accountability. But when you give that, you can get such a better response.
Oh, absolutely.
That includes where you messed up and how you can make it right versus being like, I didn't do anything wrong. How do I reply to this?
Yeah, and you know, I deleted a question the other day and someone's like, yeah, they were nitpicky and they were over the top and they were difficult. Like, no. You're not going to get the help you want by just trying to turn the whole group against this person. If you want help, say, hey guys, here's the situation. No emotion, no trigger words, no escalation, and just say, how can I reply to this to mitigate further damage?
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, we've understood that we will get a bad review, and now 24 hours have passed since that bad review.
And we have cried, gnashed of teeth, and now we're back to...
Now we're going to write a draft reply. This is 24 hours later. We didn't write the draft as soon as we did. 24 hours later, we're going to sit down and write a draft response to that review. And then you're going to have a third uninvested party read it. Not, I'm not even going to say the sugar cookie marketing group's not
uninvested. Not even baker. Because unfortunately, bakers know how much goes into making sets.
We need an uninterested teen boy.
I would
we
say
need a husband who doesn't
yeah,
like
my husband. Send it to my husband.
The husband's still worried you're going to be in a bad mood when you get home.
I love when he's like, don't be mad, but
because now mad. I'm mad. I would say an aunt, somebody that doesn't, that is just bipartisan, the most boring person you know, have them proofread it.
Yeah.
And say, does this come across as an angry, irate, defensive?
How does this make you feel?
No. Now, we don't want somebody who's going to also likes to get in street fights to also read this review, right? They're going to be biased. We need a boring person. If you want to almost see like a judge, if you have a friend who's a judge,
yeah.
Have them read it and say
we
yes.
All have judge friends. We all have judgy friends.
Okay. And now number four, step four, lower thy defenses.
Lower your defenses. Here's how I look at it. And this is how I say approach it to everyone. It's me. It's my customer against the problem.
Mm-hmm. The ants.
Against the ants. But me, in college, we went to this very tiny college, and they were called same-siders. These couples that sat on the same side of a table, they were the same-siders. So what you need to be with your customer is the same-sider.
your customer gets red. But lower your defenses. So, you know, if my defenses are lower, when somebody comes to me with an issue, I can just hear them. I can just hear the issue. I don't have to be – when you feel that tightness in your chest and you have this sweat trickling off your forehead, yeah. You're not – your defenses aren't low. Your defenses are actually really high.
I will say it is hard to your defenses low.
I would say the difference between defenses low and a defenses high person is a good business person and a bad business person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's someone who is so in the weeds that they're like, everyone's out to get me. But it's – let me tell you, so normal.
Employee
for
mindset.
You to feel – yeah. For you to feel – a way about
prompt.
A bad review.
Yeah, someone just said you are not ideal.
Yeah. You could have spent 24 hours on a set and they're like, I feel like this was a rush job.
If my favorite sky view had 5 stars in it, you are only a 4-star sky.
I did see someone, I think Timmy posted it, but she was like, he saved my life. And it was a review for a doctor and the guy gave him 4 stars.
Oh, yeah.
You can't please everybody.
That is super funny. So it was a 4-star review saying the doctor literally saved the life of the patient, but they didn't give him 5 stars. And then, yeah, that was a great takeaway is that you can't please everybody. Okay, so we lower our defenses. 5, acknowledge their experience. Now, this is the big sticking point. And this one, 5 and 6, are the big sticking points where I think some small business owners take this the wrong way and say validating someone's experience means I'm telling them they're right. No.
Yeah. That means you're telling them they're right and you're wrong.
Right.
That your cookies taste horrendous.
And there's ants everywhere.
Yeah.
No, validating your experience. So if we acknowledge somebody's experience, we validate how they feel, but it doesn't mean you agree with what they said. It just means how you feel is accurate to you.
And Heather's ex-boyfriend would be like, you've been seen, heard. This is the understood part.
Uh-huh. He didn't understand it. He didn't understand it until the end. But we're all allowed to feel how we feel. Nobody is wrong in how they feel. What made them feel that might have been left to interpretation. But if Corey saw... I had to go to couples therapy, different seeing her and understood. Yeah, and the lady was like, you both saw the same car accident, which was an analogy for our relationship, I guess. And she said, but you both were
train wreck.
You both were standing on different corners of the street. And while one of you is saying the red car is at fault, the perspective of the other person is that the blue car had to be at fault because that is what you're both
but
seeing.
But you were both correct.
And that's what she said is that when somebody, there's no right or wrong, there's my perspective and your perspective.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. We ended up not making it. Turns out the red car was at fault. Okay, so now step 6, because I want to kind of lean into this being okay with people not being happy.
Yeah.
You cannot please everybody. We don't want to. 6 is take accountability. Now, this is where you guys, I don't know where the misnomer got that we said, don't say I'm sorry. I think you should say you're sorry. Now, I think people say, well, saying you're sorry is a sign of weakness. Now, I want you to live your whole, I want you to picture your entire life where you don't apologize. And then I want you to go apologize to your spouse that you ever would do that to them. You can apologize for somebody's
I'm
experience.
So Corey's sorry you're wrong.
I can see Corey and Nate. So take accountability. I'm sorry that was your experience. I'm sorry it's only wrong when you apologize for actions that were not wrong. It's not wrong to apologize for somebody's experience.
It's not wrong to apologize for being booked.
Yeah. So when I see it, okay, imagine that you were the admin assistant of a really jerky boss, right? And he's like, why wasn't this done? But he had never communicated that it needed to be done. And he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't get it done. Uh-huh. That's where I think that's the wrong kind of apology.
Yeah.
Because you're apologizing for something you weren't at fault for. You're taking
it on. So you need to say, I'm sorry, you didn't communicate that to me, so I did not do it.
And see, that's a different kind of sorry. And that's what we're doing here. I'm sorry that was your experience. Uh-huh. Here's the information I was given, and this is why the actions were taken, right? I'm sorry that that was what you experienced, though. In a world where you're not going to say you're sorry, you're going to have a really hard life.
It is going to
be. Your little fingies are going to be in a fist because that's you have to fight all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got to say, I'm sorry, you've been seen, heard.
Honestly, just write that. You'll be good.
You know, with that dude, I was telling Ruth Ann about something he'd done. And I was like, yeah, but he apologized. That's what I said, like that way. But he apologized. And she was like, he apologizes a lot.
Did he ever not apologize? The dude was apologizing the dude every day. Wake up, put your shoes on, apologize.
Sorry for what I'm about to do. Sorry, that and that. You have been seen, heard, and understood. Okay, so now step seven. This is probably the most important of this entire series. Get them to throw up the cookie that they ate and did not like. We need to see
what I don't. What you need to make sure is that every part of your review response, I'll say that review response, is valuable. Saying my husband ate the cake scraps and thought it was delicious is not valuable.
That is discounting their experience.
It is discounting.
You're saying that your husband, who has great taste, he married you, also ate the cake and loved it. So there's something wrong with your taste buds.
So what I wanted to say is take out all the gibberish, all the rubbish all from the your responses, and let's get right down to the meat and taters.
The meat and taters, love it. You can find those the meat and taters at Ireland restaurant.
Ireland, well, not no more.
So, just kidding on the don't get them. You don't want to throw up. I've seen people say, "Well, I'll give you a refund on the amount of cake you returned because you ate some of it, so you must have liked some of it."
Yeah.
Okay. Again, waste of space. You are defensive. That is an exceptionally well. No, I just wanted to cut research. Listen, at the end of the day, if their taste buds are just set up differently than yours, it doesn't matter all the research in the world. You'd have to literally get parts of their tongue.
I know. What if they can't bring you the cake for another 3 days?
What if
then
they threw it away?
Gonna take stale.
What if they threw it away?
Pick it back out.
Unless I want you to go.
Take the ants out of it. Bring it back.
So don't get them to throw up the cookie they didn't like. What they don't want to hear is my husband tries every batch of dough ball I've ever made and loves them all and says I'm the bestest in the westest. Like what we don't want is to – that is all, like Corey said, yeah. Wasted space.
I can see what you're doing is trying to prove that it was good.
And then you think you're going to be okay because you're like, but I understand you don't like it. So, no, that was the frivolous, worthless popcorn words you used to validate you at their expense.
In the sentence, they're stuck at that first part where you say, your taste bud's broken. Yeah. And you've moved on to, I'm sorry, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, at the end of the day, that is just filler, worthless. When I see businesses doing it, I cringe.
I almost, when I see big paragraphs, we had this one client.
Debitor.
We had this one client who a jar broke in shipping, right? She leaves a bad review because it was a jar that broke in shipping. He writes this scathing response like, I'm not in front. I don't run UPS. It's not my fault. Then comes to me and Heather's like, fix this. And I was like, dude, why didn't you come to us before you posted that? Like, if I was her, I'd be like, well, I'm definitely going to leave this one-star review. Uh-huh. So I had a messenger. Hey, I'm so sorry. Uh-huh. Listen, we had an unhinged person at work responding to you today. I fired him. Can you please reconsider this if we make it right? And then she ended up taking the review down, but you could not get all that lucky.
He just had a tremendous amount of those because he would always be so defensive.
Yeah.
Once he said somebody, he wrote, thank goodness you can still edit review replies, but he had told somebody they lied about bringing their dog in. Then they posted a picture of the dog in the store. I said, oh my goodness. But back to this, you know, what Corey said is when you see those big – what we're writing is we're not writing to this person specifically. We're writing to the future people who read this review. When I see, well, your taste buds are broken, but I'd be happy to work with you on this. All I'm seeing from a future perspective is if I have a problem with this person, this is going to be a fight.
Absolutely.
And I'd almost rather spend more money than deal with a potential fight.
Yeah.
As a customer.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, you don't know how many – sales that your review is costing you. You're like, no, I bit off and raise hell in my reviews all the time. No one's ever said anything about it.
You don't know what you're missing out on.
You could be a billionaire, but
you're too busy deborahing it up.
The thing is, I think it keep it short and sweet. And then my final thing is get it offline.
Oh, no, we're not going there.
I was segueing.
You love to skipper.
I love to segue.
Spell that.
Story time. Segue.
Hey, make sure the words you're saying have value in them. So Corey says, an example is, I've never had anyone ask for a refund. That is not valuable to this specific reviewer. How can I make this right for you is.
Yes.
So a lot of the times those superfluous words are just a waste of space to make you feel better. Mm-hmm. But at what you're not paying attention to is it makes the other person feel worse. They've already left the bad review. Yeah. I almost can guarantee you that a lot of times they are in extenuating circumstances to leave a bad review. Uh-huh. Like they're really unhappy. And every time they come to a resolution, you shut them down because you're like, well, no one's ever, but Heather and Corey, no one's ever asked for a refund. Yeah. It's not normal. They are the one-off. They're the outlier. But at this point, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We're all going to have outliers mm-hmm. of people that aren't happy with us.
You're going to have bakers tell you if you ask anywhere but in Sugar Cookie Marketing, because we'll delete it, that they're just trying to get free cookies.
I would rather go to Walmart and buy cookies for $2.
Then deal with you and your bad attitude. Yeah.
I just, you know, I do this poll once a year. How many outside of sickness, how many refunds have you processed this year? And the overwhelming majority is zero.
Yeah.
Just, and then in the second one is one. And so if you refund one or zero, the average is, by and large, nobody wants their money back.
They don't want the cookies. I've never had someone be like, hey, can you make custom princess cookies for my daughter? Oh, yeah, by the way, I don't want money.
Yeah. And what we're going to say, there are people out there who do that. It's not, who cares?
Yeah.
Who just get rid of them. So, and then number nine, the one Corey's been running to this whole time. Segwaying to. Take it offline. If you could reach out to me, I'd love to see if I could help find a resolution that works for you. One, it says that this person is willing to find a fix at all costs, but you take it away from the internet.
Yeah, I always like to say, because I get so many bad reviews. Just JK, 5 stars here. If you don't mind emailing me at hello@mixybowlcookiecompany.com, I would love to make this right. So what it does is it stops this back and forthy mudslinging mm-hmm. that it could be mm-hmm. and takes it offline. So the next few people who read it, well, oh, they took care of that customer. They handled that customer. Mm-hmm. It's not this like storybook, you know, choose your own adventure. Like, what are they going to say next? You know, where people are popping their popcorn so they can read the thread.
Is just, even in people in the cookout, it's like, how do I find this? My popcorn is in the microwave.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Deborah.
So on this side, if you could reach out to me, I'd love to see it. I saw somebody ask, I think it was in one of the groups, and they were like, but the person who left the review, I've never worked with. It has their first and last name. I've never worked with that person. I don't think I should have to. So I say, write this instead. Hey, I look through my order form. I can't find your name, but I'd love to connect you with the order and then figure out how can we connect this right. Again, you don't want to be like, and I see that defensive thing. I've gone through my list of customers and you're not on them. So how do you know?
I don't want to use my government name to leave you a bad review because God forbid you find out where I live.
Gorko Bunchcorn. That's what my family called Corey growing up. You want to call her Gorko Bunchcorn? By all means.
It was Corbin, and your ex-boyfriend adds squirt to the end.
Because Corey likes buns.
Corey likes buns. No, I like the animal. Guys.
You can't even squirt the buns. 10, never, ever, ever, ever be afraid to refund and walk away. You're no less of a baker if you do this, but you're actually more of a business person. Mm-hmm. If you just say, hey, listen, here's your money. Don't do it. Hey, here's your money, you liar. Then we just undid all the good deeds. Hey, so sorry that was your experience. I've already processed that refund. You should see it in the next 5 to 10 business days. If you want to reach out to me offline, I'd be happy to work and figure out how we could come to a better resolution next time. Something like that, that just says, all as a future customer, all I'm thinking is, oh my goodness, if I have a problem, I'm taken care of.
Uh-huh.
If the worst happens, which I don't want it to and I don't expect it to, especially in a 5-star review profile with one bad review, what I'm going to think is that one person is weird.
Yeah.
And everybody else knows this baker and likes this baker. And the odds of me having a great experience are very high. And even if I have a bad experience, they're going to work with me to make sure that bad experience becomes a good experience.
Yeah. This unfolded on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Remember that email I got? And I was like, I didn't say I was going to take this. I did end up saying that I was going to take it. Or it was on me. I'm actually making it this week, and it's 100% free order for her.
Because you
I messed thought, up.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I can't charge top dollar prices and not give top dollar customer service. Yeah. This order is going to be on me as a sorry. And what she said, if I did not do that, I was never going to get an order from her ever again. Her response was, oh my soul, you don't know how many birthdays of my nieces and nephews that are coming up. I am so grateful for you. Thank you so much.
No, she probably just wanted them for free. And now she's going to get them all for free.
And she never asked for anything.
Yeah.
I just know that I left a bad taste, or rather soapy one, in her mouth. And she was going to never use me again. So I said, what could I do? Could I just take the money for this one and then be like, yeah, it was her problem.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm a baker. I'm not perfect. We're human.
Yeah.
No, we're not. We're not human. We're made of sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Do you think I want to make this set for free?
No, absolutely. No.
I was poking my eyes out baking it last night.
But for the overall experience of the brand that Corey's trying to make, that charges top dollar. You're at the high end.
Top dolly.
Now you're able to say, well, she's not going to leave you better, are you?
Oh, and if she
did, you know what Corey's able to say now? I'm so sorry. I did forget your order. I understand. I was happy to bake that last order for free for you. And again, if you want to give me a shot to try. But the odds of that person leaving a bad review are so far.
Not when you're telling me your niece and nephew are turning five and I'm going to be baking for them.
What that lady knows is, like, even though Corey's human, and we all are, and will make mistakes, they will also do their best to
rectify the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a hard word for
you. I don't know what I was thinking. I started saying you, and then I went to they, and it threw me brain off.
I know back when we were at CookieCon 2 years ago, I had someone who's going back and forth with me, and the CookieCon week was insane, prepping for it, getting everything ready, that I left her on red. So the day that she needed the cookies was actually the day we were at CookieCon. She never paid, so I didn't feel like so bad. So what I said to her is, I am so sorry that I dropped the ball. 50% off whatever next order you did. Granted, she did a ginormous order, but I saved it. Mm-hmm. She came back. She said, I love these. These were great. But I could have run the risk that, one, I never heard from her ever again. Still, money lost.
Worse. Bad review.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just to recap, I want you to say this out loud. I will get a bad review one day, and that is okay. We cannot please everybody. And if we did, who would we be as people, Say that all the time. And when it happens, chill. Relax. It happens. You knew it was going to happen. You said it out loud. You listened to the podcast.
Welcome to the club.
Yes.
Grab a seat.
With your one star. And then just walk away for 24 hours. Breathe, take a shower, do whatever self-care thing that helps you relax. Mm-hmm. Get that Starbucks if you want, or get that glass of wine. Mm-hmm. But with that glass of wine, I don't want to see the phone in your hand.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
Drunk words are sober thoughts. We do not want those sober thoughts to be written words. Then you're going to write a draft reply, and you're going to have somebody who does not care read it. Mm. You are going to make sure you're going to ask them if it sounds too emotional, if it sounds too defensive, it sounds too angry. You want someone who reads that to think, wow, this person just got the refill of their anti-anxiety meds, and they are chilling like a villain.
Yeah.
They are cool as a cucumber.
And when your third-party uncaring person says, well, I think you sound a little defensive here.
What did you just say? Yeah. I do not doubt it. You
can't
even
be defensive.
I'm the most agreeable person you've ever met. Then lower your fences. Just lower them down. There's no need. The damage is
done.
Think
of it as a drawbridge.
That's when you get the review.
Come on in.
Then we're going to acknowledge their experience. We're going to validate them, because we understand validating someone's experience doesn't mean they're right or wrong. It means their emotions are their own.
This is what I tell my son. You own your emotions. Your feelings are yours. I can't tell you your feelings are wrong, as they are not mine to be told to. Mm-hmm. But what I can do is listen to you and help you work through your emotions and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Six, take accountability. If you did do something wrong, take 100% ownership of it.
Sometimes I've sent out an order.
I know what you're going to say.
There's a little bit of color bleed.
Right. If you truly did something wrong and you didn't acknowledge it, now they've taken it to review, I want you to just own it, eat it up, roll around in it. Yeah, you're a human. You're allowed to make mistakes, as long as you own those mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one expected you to walk on icing water.
I think it's so hard for people. Like, if you send something out and you know something's a little wrong, a little smudgy here and there, a little color bleed, you spelled a little word wrong. Mm-hmm. And
spelled a little more. You
send the order out, and then the customer receives back out to you and says it. It's almost like, oh gosh, They're confirming that I am a loser.
That always hurts when you're like, I thought I was a loser. Now I know I'm a loser.
Yeah. Now you're like, oh, man, I knew in the back of my mind I was sending out a less than a best set.
Some people do come to the group, and I don't mind these posts, and they say, here's the problem with this set. Should I raise the awareness to the client before they pick it up? And then, you know, a lot of people will be like, we're our own worst critics. I don't see a problem with it. Uh-huh. Like, sometimes I don't see the color bleed that y'all see.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't do it. And then sometimes it's like, hey, get ahead of this. Get in front of this. Yeah, this wasn't your best set. Get in front of it. Tell the client, I'm so sorry. Here's what I can do to fix this. Or if you don't have time to fix this, at least pay them their money back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And say, yeah, I dropped. If a business to – Corey got her car detailed. She had that scratch on it a couple podcasts ago. And the guy said, I will get this completely gone. When we came outside after 2 hours, he's like, I've got it completely gone when you're standing 10 feet away. And we were like –
squinting in the solar eclipse.
In what upside down world did he just promise something, didn't deliver, and just made a new promise?
I know.
And guess what? He will never, ever, ever, ever. He'll never call him, and everyone will ever say is like, don't use his
team. I know. Did I leave a review? No. Do I even remember his name anymore? Also no.
He's still running his ad, so if you ever want to know, good. I'll let you know.
If I ever feel fire, I'll put a boom on the
So number seven, don't fill your reply with a bunch of superfluous. My husband loves the cookies, and I force feed him every batch, and he says they're great, and something's wrong with you. But okay, we'll work on something.
Focus on the value.
Yeah.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Everything solves a problem. Everything moves in a direction that solves a problem.
The more words you say, the more you can get in trouble. So say fewer words.
Yes. Number eight, make sure that you skipped ahead. Thank you. Make sure the words that you're saying have value in them.
Oh, you're welcome.
Number nine, take it offline. Again, I always like to see, and if you could reach out to me directly, here's my email. I'd love to find a resolution for you. Even if the resolution is the one that you said in the review, like, I'd be happy to give you your money back.
Yeah.
Just saying like, hey, this person is always moving in a direction of solving problems.
Uh-huh.
Is just takes a weight off my shoulders.
The one thing I don't like when people bring to the group is customer was unhappy with the order, but I'm not going to refund.
What do you want us to do here? You want us to become your internet army and to lambast that client so you feel better because you secretly know in the back of your head you did not handle this well.
Dude, they'll be like, I did this, customer's unhappy, I'm unwilling to rebake, and I'm not going to give a refund.
Please yell at the client with me.
It sounds like you have made up your mind.
Here's what back before Facebook, I'm dating myself a bit. We'll be saying this in the next eclipse. Back before the computers were on desk and not our brains. But back before Facebook, there was forums.
Yeah.
So I was in this forum and someone said, this company ripped me off. It was an automotive forum. And I think we should all go and leave them bad reviews. And the top comment is like, we are not your internet army. We don't know their side of the story. Yeah. We are not judge, jury, and executioner just because we know half of the story. And that's why in the Sugar Cookie Marketing Group, if I find that you, on behalf of a baker that was venting, went and involved yourself in their reviews, instant, immediate ban.
Yeah.
You are gone forever. I do not want your kind here because you're involving yourself in something that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Just to know, like, eyes are everywhere. There was one baker who made
apparently
fun.
The hills have them.
The hills have them. The eclipse. There was one baker who made fun of a customer in a local group, in a community cookie group. And someone, I guess, who lived by them, screenshot it, sent it to that customer. You guys just have to be careful. Wherever you walk, tread lightly and carry a big dick.
Which is why in the Sugar Cookie Marketing Group, we have no doxing laws. If I see that you posted somebody's full name or,
photo even,
we will delete it and slap you on the wrist because you are creating your own hell.
Yeah. And we want everyone to be successful in business. We don't want you to create uphill battles for your own self.
Here's one. I love the positivity and support that these Facebook groups, the Sugar Cookie Marketing Group and the Cookie College have. A couple years ago, someone messaged me and they were like, someone in your group knew my client and screenshotted what I wrote about them. So again, if you're willing to write it on the internet, also picture it being read to the person you wrote about.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I was like, that is so unfortunate. I'm sorry. But did you include their names?
You've been seen, heard and understood, but did you include their names?
But I don't understand one thing. And she was like, yeah, well, I didn't edit out the name. And I'm like, well, all we can do is mitigate it. So we worked together, me and this group member. And she came back a couple hours later and she's like, I can't, it worked. The lady was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
The client ended up apologizing for going off the handle as well, taking accountability for her own reactions.
Lucky.
But not before that member had gotten super defensive.
Yeah, you guys, just the way you word things, just know that if it's been written Basically, just write it to the person that you're writing about.
I want you to picture me and Corey reading your post and wincing when we see your reply. And if you feel the urge to post in the Sugar Cookie Marketing Group after you've replied, that means you also doubted how you handled it.
A little bit.
You're just looking for validation that the terrible way you handled it was okay. And you're not going to get that here. You can go get that in those other groups.
And you're like, wow, the twins sound like total bees. No, listen. At the end of the day.
Total dabs.
At the end of the day, we want you to be successful in your business. And that takes growth. It takes an open mind. It takes a willing heart. So sometimes when you come to the group and you're like jaded and you're like, ah, I told this customer, you know, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. you're not ready to grow.
Corkle bun of you.
My buttons.
Right. It's that comes back. If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. If you want to be an angry baker, everything's going to look like a fight.
Yes.
And you're going to have a really – and you're going to get burnout because it's
miserable.
There's
a local baker, and Hunter knows exactly what I'm talking about, that loves good internet.
Exactly. Mouth it.
Yeah. Anytime I see a post, I'm like, I'm ready. Where's my mom?
Yeah. And it's just like, wow, when something goes wrong, it goes off the rails. And when something goes well, I don't know. I would never – order for fear I'd have to deal with the
Yeah, because now this baker has created people who, when they see that person posted, go and say, I would not order from this person. They're horrendous. They are horrible to their customers. They will dox you online.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. I had to delete this thread. Actually, Amy caught up in it because Amy's everywhere and all at once and has 5 cents and I don't get how she does it. But she was like, hey, it was not about cookies and that's why I got deleted. But also it would have gotten deleted anyways because it was just going to go south faster than a teen on spring break.
You love saying that.
I love it.
You love
it. Think of something else that goes south fast.
And dodo. I'll,
what? You died.
South like the dodo. Yeah.
Dodos are extinct.
Yeah.
Went south faster than the dodo population.
Went south.
I can't remember the line. A goose in a migratory
Southwest Louisiana.
Boeing. Okay. The person had said, well, I'm actually the reviewer in this case. I did read it before I deleted it. The person said, I'm actually a reviewer in this case. I said I didn't like their product. They screenshotted my review and put it all over social media and all the community groups saying that and now they're going to my bakery.
Yeah.
So listen, if you put it in writing, even if you leave bad reviews, leave the bad reviews.
Here's the problem. That's unfair to unhinged as well.
Listen, you get in a fight. So at the end of the day, and what I did not read the replies or anything because I needed to delete it.
Yeah.
Faster than a kid goes to break south. Southern teens and kids going there fast. But it's just like, hey, if you're going to put it in writing, if you're the reviewer or the reviewee, the replier or the
replyee,
you have got to understand that once it's in writing, it lasts forever.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, if I, from this third silent party, saw that a business lambasted a bad review all over social media. I cannot tell everyone
what to search on Google to find the heirloom drama.
Yeah, you've lost a customer, but you don't know it because I'm never going to say anything.
We had this client. I've talked about it before. They had an interaction long, long, long before. I'd say almost 10 years before we worked with them, and they were still paying.
We haven't brought this up many.
I just need people to know because I asked the client, how many dollars do you think this – so it's not – the lady didn't leave just one bad review. She ended up making it her life's mission to leave them a bad review. She's still doing it to this day. Yeah. When any new social profile came out, she would create their listing. You know, I can create a listing. And then she would leave a bad review. Like before they even got there, it was already – and they were like probably upwards of $300,000 of work. Of course, a high-end remodeler, it was easy to get to that number. But it's costing us so much money over years and years of this.
Yeah.
So crazy. Consider that. If everyone had to read a bad review and how you reply to it, would they buy from you or would they not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Reviews can make you or break you. Deborah can make you or break you.
Mm-hmm.
Heirloom tomatoes.
I would love to have an heirloom tomato.
Oh, yeah. It's not the season, though.
I think we're coming. No, I think we're coming up to it, though.
With some cottage cheese and salt.
Some balsamic and basil. What's the cheese that we like on it? Is that
rigatoni? I don't know. That's what it was.
Mozzarella. Yeah, mozzarella. Moving on to the cookie college.
Moving on to the cookie college.
That's That's a good one.
Thank you. Maybe you'll just let it keep going over me. I'm calling Britney Spears. If she did it again.
The Cookie College is a membership Corey and I put together, and it has morphed over 3 years. Can you believe it's been 3 years?
No.
To really become a giant resource for folks. Now, the Cookie College is $76 a month, and that sounds a little high price, but here's my guarantee. If I can make that money plus a buck.
Plus a buck.
And I can almost guarantee you'll make more if you do the things that implement. Are taught in there. You're going to be like, how did I ever live without it?
Yes. We even have a little class or course on how to ask for reviews with some graphics for you to use so you can build up your good reviews while waiting for your bad review.
Because at the end of the day, the more good reviews you have, the less impactful that bad review is. So if you only have two – if you only have one review, it's 5 stars, and the next one is 1 star, your now review average will be 2.5.
Yeah, but then also people who are reading it will be like, should I buy from them?
Right.
Or should I buy from them?
If you have 100 five-star reviews and then you get one bad review, it might be taking down a 4.9.
Yeah.
In which case, it is even a better review profile. So getting good reviews. And now that Cookie College, because every month we have to pour into it more resources for people, it's actually just a giant resource bubble. That when people tap into it, like, you know, some people are like, I just don't know how I was doing this without you guys.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know how I walked this planet without you two in my ear at all times.
First and foremost, before we were bakers, we've always been in marketing. Marketing and sales is just – it's not just one like, oh, making a website. No, it's your online persona, your online profile, your reviews, brand. What is it when you help someone with their brand management? Yeah. You had a technical term for that back in the day, and I can't remember.
Brand voice, branding.
Branding.
Can't remember. You've been heard. You've been heard. You've been seen.
You're Deborah.
So if you want to check out more at the Cookie College, we actually just dropped the Cookie Class kits. And then it includes all our membership tiers as well. So the Cookie College gets it all. For the digital downloads, which have gone through a refresh in 2024, this month's digital downloads is an Instagram business card that you could edit in Canva and then print off locally.
I actually got them done for a company.
That was very cute. That
expensive. Very cute. But if you just take this template, you can save yourself a few dollars.
And it's an easy drag and drop Canva template. And each month, the digital downloads gets a little something something. I think last month it was yard egging flyer. The month before that was a cookie class flyer to deal with.
And then I got on the docket cookie care card. I really want Kate care card.
And these will be digital downloads that you can edit yourself. But I create the template, the design, and everything. All you do is click the Canva template link, and then you can edit yourself.
Yeah.
The Cookie College, you can check it out in the other four memberships at thecookiecollege.com. We have the Cookie College that gets everything, and then the Cookie Class Kits, which is a fan favorite. However, you do get those in the Cookie College. You get the digital downloads, you get the Baker's Business Basics, which is 12 foundational courses to get you started in the right. And then you get the $2 transfers, which is a fun money loss for us. Like, it's 185 transfers at this point.
Yes, for $2.
$2. And you can cancel anytime. Mm-hmm. You can stay on with us. We promise you 1 to 2 transfers a month, but we're averaging around 8.
That's insane.
Yeah, I did some baby transfers.
I like
some
them.
Pacifiers.
Yeah, that honestly would be good for any of the baby sets out there, especially when it's a little bear that needs to hold like a bottle.
Did it
a rattle.
Oh, yeah. There's a rattle and there's a bottle. A bunch of baby things. Pacifier.
Oh, passies. Passies are good.
Transfers are fun. So, those are the memberships that we have. They are always fun and exciting. Actually, in the Cookie College this month, we're talking about money, which is such a sticky topic. I wouldn't go into a group of 40,000 people and talk about money and be afraid of what people would say. Yeah. But in a group that's kind of petite like this, where everyone is forced to be respectful or their membership is terminated, we are able to talk about kind of more sticky, more bashful, even though I have an anonymous form where people are allowed
to submit. It's a nitty gritty of business. Mm-hmm. The part of business that isn't the glamorous part is the money talk.
Yeah.
Because you feel so vulnerable opening up your books to people, but you're also wondering, like, are they feeling the same thing that I'm feeling?
It was so funny. We did this last year, and they asked us to do it again this year. I took an anonymous poll, so I can't see the names. Mm-hmm. All you do is vote, and there was, like, about 15 questions, whatever. And it was, how many people carry credit card debt each month? And the group from last year and this year is split exactly 50-50.
Yeah.
And you think everyone around you is really successful and they pay off all their debt and they understand how credit works and they're not paying 23% interest. But in reality, everyone around you is probably very similar to you. Uh-huh. And those who are not probably can help you.
When I was younger, I thought adults just knew everything. Now that I'm adult, nope. I know we know nothing.
Have you filed your taxes yet?
No, I knew that. April 14th, 11:59.
Turn my taxes like, day or no. Pilot's like, you got one more week. Yeah, no, it's just all caps from Turbo Tax File. No.
I'm like, Turbo, you should know. I wait till the day.
Chill your turbos. So that is thecookiecollege.com if you want to check that out. If you have any questions, you can always email me at heather@sugarcookiemarketing.
Taking that offline. I see what you're doing.
Taking offline. If you have any issues, email me directly. That's what we actually ask in the group. If you have any issues with us, take it with you. I will find you. Yeah, we will figure it out, my little buddy.
Little buddy.
You, my buddy. It's me and you on the same side of the table.
Sometimes I'm like, let me go see what admin assists did.
Same siders. Is that what you call it?
Same siders, yeah.
Okay. It was same siders on the table.
Same siders.
Have you dated somebody who was the same sider?
No. Unfortunately, I want to be a same sider.
Really?
My husband didn't even sound the same side with me.
You've been seeing her and none of shit is the same sider.
She's definitely a same sider. Yeah. It's just jarring when you walk into a restaurant and two people are sitting on the same side of a table.
It must be jarring to be the wait staff and you're like, hello.
Like, fine. I can't even make eye contact. I know, you like, you're
same side at Olive Garden later today. Same time.
You want to?
You know, like, they always say, like, they put the menus on two sides and you're like, we'll be.
Yeah. It's just same siders. Once you see them, you cannot see them.
Mm-hmm.
Same siders.
We also said at that school, eye babies. You stare into each other's eyes and would make babies.
They would just stare so intently. Of course, me and Heather didn't have boyfriends back then, so we just stared at these people.
Same siding at them.
Yeah. We were on the other side.
I had a boyfriend. We just never talked.
Best kind of boyfriend ever.
I don't think you ever actually broke up.
Heather said they never had the conversation about breakup, so she technically could still be in a relationship with them to this day.
Yeah. Happy 20th anniversary. Call me.
Heather's talking about the best relationship I've ever
had. He's never seen her downstairs. But moving on, let's go to the sponsors.
Sponsors. First and foremost is Royal Batch. Corey, what is Royal Batch? Well, let me tell you. It's the best meringue powder on the planet. Mm-hmm. I have tried just about every meringue powder, and I forced Heather to experience the different meringue powders in our cookie class.
Anytime we have something weird
so
going
why
on.
Why is this one doing some funky shit? It's not the one I like.
Why is everybody struggling?
Yeah. Cookie glasses are a way to get rid of old meringue powder before it gets bad.
We had us do this class, and it needed to be thicker, but the lettuce.
The lettuce.
We did a burger set, like a, you know, like the cheese. It was a couple years ago, and I was looking at people doing the lettuce, and I was watching it blend into a
big
blob. You
should have saw me sweating. Mm-hmm. Sweating on the lettuce. The lettuce was wet. Where's my sweat?
And I said, and Corey's like, yeah, I used a different meringue powder. You should have used less water.
Yeah, that's true. Anywho, Royal Batch is a meringue powder by Bakety Bake. It actually has three main ingredients already in it, so you're saving money there. It has white food coloring, so when you whip it up, it is bright and it is white. You don't need to add anything to it. It already has corn syrup in it. If you don't know, that actually gives royal icing a softer bite. So it's already in
there. So all those reviews would be like, I didn't like anything about the ants, but boy, were they soft.
Yeah, they were soft.
The softest ants I've ever eaten.
Yeah. And the last thing it has in there is vanilla extract. You can add any extract you want to it. I just leave it as is. And I have to make a batch today.
Do you use almond extract?
I don't, because I'm not going to say I don't like the taste of almond extract. Some people love the taste. I don't
soap.
I don't crave the taste of almond extract.
Is it a taste additive? Is that why people are adding it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
But I also don't want a review like that, so I just take it out.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Now, this is interesting. Eddie is our next sponsor. Eddie made a post. I don't know why it wasn't absolutely blowing up in their group, but I screenshotted that bad boy and I reposted it in our groups and our page that they have offered Affirm payment plans.
Payment plans. That makes him even easier to get.
Yeah, it makes him a little bit more expensive, but that's the exchange of not buying him outright. You can pay over time through, I think it's through Amazon, through Affirm.
Yeah. So what is Eddie? Direct to food printer, the best boyfriend you've ever had.
He's also $3,000. He will see you. He will hear you. He will understand you. But It is $2,000. It's not chump change. Yeah. Oh, so a lot of people are like, oh, I would love to get an Eddie. I just can't get the funds.
Yeah, that big lump sum.
Yeah.
Now you don't need the lump.
Yeah. So you could do a firm and you're like, well, now what's that make the price? I think it's based on your credit. I'm not completely positive, but the numbers were, everyone was like, here's what it would be for me. Here's what it would be for me. So whatever it is, I think the average is going to make it around $3,500, but you get to pay over a long period of time. Now, the goal is you would use Eddie to come and pay for himself.
Absolutely.
Right. And Eddie is great for really large orders or corporate orders or orders where you just want to zhuzh it up, but you don't want to spend the time with an airbrush.
I love seeing now Eddie is so popular. Mm-hmm. Like looking at a set and I'm like, they're
I think
Eddie
it's a great idea. I think, imagine being mad at a printer.
Okay.
Couldn't imagine. People are like, I don't like an Eddie because it's taking the talent out of it. We're here for money, buddy.
Listen, unless you're making your own royal icing from egg whites whipped up, we're all taking the easy route.
Yeah, I think the minute you stepped in the grocery store and got prepackaged flour, we all took the easy route. So now Eddie allows you to take that even easier route. And you can work at economies of scale or you can work on corporate. And Corey uses it in corporate all the time.
Yeah.
But you can also use it to zhuzh up a set. So I saw like a lot of it over Eastern.
Yeah.
The background. I saw the babies.
Yeah.
You know, like the patterns on a baby jumper. And then you pipe in the details.
You know
in.
What is a great thing it'll be great for? The name plaque cookies come December when it's like, you know, he's back, the little
Elfie guy. You know what's going to be great for next month is teacher appreciation, the lines of paper. So Corey did this a couple of years ago and I made the graphic and we used Eddie to print it. So instead of having to airbrush the, you know,
or use a
college
marker,
paper. I hate it. Yeah, we were able to make it look like handwriting. In fact, using Photoshop, if I could scan your handwriting, we could print it onto a cookie and it would look like handwriting. But you know, like the blue lines with the red on the red vertical and the blue horizontal, that makes that so much easier and so much more consistent.
Yes. And if you've ever tried to do that with an edible marker and it slips.
Remember when you were handwriting on some cookie and it kept poking through and you were about to lose it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have used Eddie. I think it was before he came out.
I know, I think so. It was way back in the day.
So if you want to learn more about Eddie, go to Eddie Printers User Group. But it's really neat, that payment plan through a firm through Amazon. So people are like, well, I looked up on Amazon. I can't find Eddie. It's not through Amazon. You go to Eddie's website, so primera.com. Go to click on Eddie. I think you got to sign in with Amazon. And through the checkout process on their website is where you can pay through
the firm.
It's not an Amazon listing or anything.
Oh, good, yeah.
So very neat. I think that is a really cool tool.
Do we have any voicemails or texts?
Oh, I forgot to mention.
Yeah, you're so crazy.
Yeah, not crazy. You can just sing something.
Why? Say.
Well, I'm clicking quickly. You're gonna go all the way. We have two. Not a question, but I so appreciate you wearing black gloves in the cookie kit decorating videos. We don't have the same skin tone, so I felt a little strange about using those in my marketing. This makes my life so much easier. You want to explain what they're talking about?
So in the cookie class kits, it's a membership. If you want to teach a cookie class, you can sign up. We do all the hard work for you. We give you the marker materials. We give you the themes, the colors, everything you need to teach a cookie class. You just have to show up and bake your own dough. But if you can twist my arm, I'll send Heather over to bake your dough.
Sorry, guys. You're going to get some batteries. Yeah. That'll help you reply to those.
Part of that was sometimes the designs, you might need to a visual. Like, I'm a visual learner. So I said, let's add some videos of me decorating some of these cookies
that
so they can
meant.
See it.
For the baker.
It was meant for the baker.
But then the bakers were like, hey, we could use this in our PowerPoints or in our promotions to sell more tickets. Not opposed, but
Corey, but my ugly hand
is translucently white. You can almost see through her.
My ugly hand.
I'm surprised you didn't get a suntan in the eclipse.
So I started wearing a black jacket and black food safe gloves.
That way everyone can use the thing. So again, the feedback from the Cookie College does make the Cookie College better. And that was one of the feedbacks.
Yeah.
So you are absolutely welcome and thank you for appreciating that. Next text. Hi, twins. This is Jaleesa from Snow Cookie Creation. I have been loving the podcast and I have been binging it, getting all your marketing nuggets. I have one question about how can I express to my clients that I may be taking an extended break with my business. My husband and I are thinking of trying for baby number four in the fall and I get extremely bad morning sickness for several months. There would be absolutely no way for me to do cookies during that time. What would be the best way to express to my clientele that I'd be taking that break? How could I stay connected with them during the break, even though I wouldn't be taking orders? I think we talked about
this
in a couple podcasts ago. I'd say if you're willing to let people in, let them in. That's always the most connected form of marketing. If you're like me and Corey, though, you don't like to let people in, so you don't tell them anything. Now, we talked about this in the other podcast. If it's a 1 month break, you could easily just float that one. If we're talking 4 months,
And she's going through the fall and Christmas time.
You're
going
to have to kind of say, hey, guys, I'm curtailing orders. Again, if you want to listen to that podcast, I only think it was like four podcasts ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even three. It says, like, find a list of people referred to, let them in, keep them updated, do throwbacks, kind of still touch that content bucket. What we don't want to do is completely ghost the page. It's going to be hard to bring it back. But we can and we should have to let people know, like, if you're taking a 9-month break, that's pretty long. So we're going to need to have a referral network and start reaching out to other bakers that you like.
Because
it's going to be a – you scratch their back for 9 months. They're going to turn around and scratch yours when they're booked or busy or something like that or on vacation. So kind of build that up. And then if you wanted to keep people involved, you can post updates. I know some people do make baby announcements using cookies, which is great.
Some people make babies.
Yeah, they do. Some people make iBabies. So if you want to let them in, I do that. I would listen to that podcast where we go very in-depth on some strategies depending on how long that break is.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, and I always tell this, you're not the first person to completely shut down a page and have to bring it back. So nothing can't really be solved. It's cookies. Nobody dies.
Absolutely. While it's on my mind, I've come up with the three next themes for the Cookie Class Kids.
Oh, what a proprietary information. Only the podcast.
Only the podcast listeners. July. Christmas in July.
Really?
Yeah.
You tell me this yesterday.
I forgot.
I'm learning
I forgot
this
to
for
tell
the
you.
First time. Today.
That'll be the one that drops in June for July.
Okay.
So you can, I feel like it will sell
Christmas
great.
Christmas in July.
The next, houseplants. Amy, that was from her. She said people love houseplants.
That'll
so
be
it'll
cute.
Be a houseplanty one for all the plant people out there.
Like it. That'll and be good to teach at any month.
I think people would like to take that kind of class.
Yes.
The next, cats.
Love that one. Loved it. I loved the concept of it.
So those are those three. And then we'll go back to which.
Well, if you're doing Christmas in July, are you doing a Christmas class in
Christmas? Yeah, it'll just be a normal. This Christmas in July is like a palm tree.
Oh,
yeah.
How fun.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Vibes. Santa with like glasses on.
Very fun.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the class kits oddly drop a month before you'd use them. So it gives you enough time to promote the class. So our October class will actually be a Thanksgiving class.
Uh-huh.
Our November class will actually be a Christmas class. And then our December class is what we decided.
Yeah.
So you see how they're all giving you an extra month to
so
promote.
So last week Heather dropped the May. It was dropped in April. It's for May. And it's graduation because people graduate in May. So it'll give you enough run time to either do classes, private classes, DIY kits, anything like that.
Yeah, a lot of fun. So if you signed up for the Cookie College, you'd get not only this year's classes, of which there are now five, you'd also get last year's. That's included in just the Cookie College membership. Otherwise, you'd have to buy those last year classes separately.
Uh-huh.
But you save, and I cannot stress it, you save a lot more money signing up for the college for 1 month
you
of counseling.
You do.
But I'd wager. You sign up for a month and you're like, oh, I like this.
I think
I'll stick around.
I like it.
Now, what we're also working on is a template library. It'll be included in the Cookie College, but for everyone else who doesn't want to sign up for that membership, it'll be a grab and go, a template library. You can just buy this, buy that. If you like the way we write, if you like the way we reply to reviews, you could just go purchase a template and say, I'm going to outfit this to be happy, not angry.
Lucky. No Debras.
I can guarantee you, if you use the template that we write in a response to a bad review, you're going to de-escalate the situation.
Do you have a twin trust?
Yeah, this is a weird one. I found this YouTube channel. I found this guy on TikTok, but it's a YouTube channel. It's called Midwestern Magic Cleaning. It's an hour. Every episode is an hour long, and he just cleans houses for free in exchange for filming them.
Yeah.
And narrates them for an hour. I don't know why. He's kind of funny in a weird way.
There was a guy who does the outside lawn
scaping.
Oh,
I loved him.
Yeah, he was
loved
good.
Him. This guy's a little bit more interesting on the inside. He's kind of a little bit more entertaining. The other guy's like, I'm over.
The other guy, you're just listening.
Yes.
The whole time. Yeah.
This one, he's like, he was saying like, oh, when we go through a hoarder's house, the first label, whatever that expiration date, will be the newest one in the cupboard, and everything else behind it will be older because that's the way people work.
Yeah.
And then you just let him play in the background, and you're like, oh my goodness. And he said the biggest hoarded things he sees are shoes, purses. He said,
really?
Shoes and purses. And he said, oddly, medical pill bottles that are empty.
Yeah, because I think people are like, what do I do with it? I have my information on
there. So he said that. He said those are the three things that I guarantee see more than anything.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Very interesting. And then he like will go through and tell you the cleaning products he uses on these extremely dirty situations.
Is it a hoarding show?
No, it's just he's actually he has a company that's a house cleaning company, but he will not charge them if they're hoarders and he lets them film.
Oh, that I
so
that's
he
nice.
Volunteers
yeah.
and then he takes the money he gets from YouTube. I think he got over 1 million subscribers or something. But he takes some money from YouTube and like either buys him a new fridge when the fridge can't be cleaned or something like that.
Yes.
Very interesting to watch. That is my Twinterest. Been binging it.
My Twinterest is I dehydrated my sourdough starter.
Can you explain to me what goes on there?
You have starter that you feed every day.
Of course I do.
Sometimes your starter can, one, grow mold.
Grow.
And you'll have to toss it.
Oh, isn't it mold?
Huh?
Isn't he mold?
It's a bacteria, not a mold.
So what's the difference between a bacteria and mold?
Mold is, you can't eat it. Bacteria, we can eat.
But why is the bacteria growing mold?
Because you either didn't feed it, you haven't cleaned out his little home in a while.
What is mold in relation to bacteria? Bread.
No, I don't know. That's a very technical question. I think it's bad.
Thank you for that.
Yeast and bacteria are different than mold spores.
Right. Well, obviously, like an old bread, mold.
Mold, and you can eat it. So you want the good bacteria, which is your yeasty sourdough starter. But sometimes your sourdough starter can go bad. You can actually use too much, and you don't have any more. Yeah, I did bring it back. You actually barely need any to bring it back. Oh. But it's safe if you have an established starter to dehydrate it. So if you ever are in, up the creek without the paddle and starter, you can rehydrate it.
So it's dehydrated starter.
Yeah. It's so easy to do.
When he's just sleeping. You just put him in a...
in a state of comatose. Yeah. And then when you give
him
water...
in the fridge? Freezer?
No, you just put it in a jar and can store it for 2 years on the counter.
2 years.
Dehydrated. Yeah. Here's the way to do it. Take a piece of parchment paper. And when this is what I thought it was a good tip. When your starter is at its peak, because the heat from the dehydration will kill off some of the bacteria. So if you dehydrate at its peak, that's when there's the most bacteria growth in your starter, that even if you kill off a few, you still have a really good chance that when you rehydrate it, you can bring it back to life.
Why did you send me an attachment with sourdough instructions on it and no other context?
Because we're making a class.
Oh, I need a little bit of
context. I said that in there. In the subject line.
Here's the thing. Send it to me when the class is done. You want me to be your file storage manager?
Sourdough is never done. There's no done sourdough.
When the video is done.
Can't. I said we're filming it together.
Do you get a special jar? Pot.
For what?
The lid that has an app.
I did.
I think that would be a trencher's today.
Oh, I forgot. Breadwinner.
Breadwinner.
Yeah. I just like gadgets. I like trying out new stuff when it comes to something. Breadwinner is a lid for your starter. So your starter jar, it doesn't need a specific jar. You can just get one of those canning jars that we got from class. And this fits right on top of it. Yeah. What it does, it has a sensor on it. And the sensor actually tracks as your dough rises and gives you a text message when it's at its peak.
How does it know?
It's tracking. It's elevating like this.
How's it seeing that? How's the
There's lid? This little sensor that's looking down with a light.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And
so
you can see this graph.
Oh, no way.
Throughout the day. It is a little lag, though, the graph. Obviously, this thing is sending it to an app or whatever. But it tracks your temperature. So I said, let me test this.
How much was this thing?
100. It wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. 100?
It wasn't bad.
I got to make some bread for it. I have this little warming thing.
Yeah.
So I said, let me put it on there and see if it makes the starter go faster. And what will this breadwinner do? It did. It tracked it. It said it grew 3 times faster than it did the day before.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So it tells you how high it gets. It starts making a graph for you so you can see like how temperature affects it. Oh. I don't know. If you're like wondering like... And then it sends you a text because you want to bake when it's at its peak.
Uh-huh.
So if you get the text, you can be like, oh, I got to run down and make some bread real quick.
Sorry, I got to go make some bread.
I know. Can you do this all visually with no thermometer?
I think the thing, like we went to the bread ladies class and she was like, yeah, I had to take it with me one time in the car. So I'd run out during dinner and fold it.
I know. And then, so last night I made some sourdough. I only did 2 stretch and folds instead of the 4. So we'll see how it works. There's recipes out there you don't do any stretch and folds.
That lady in the bread class was like, stretch and fold.
I know.
Or die.
I know. So I'm going to bake it today. I'll tell you how. I'll report back. I'm curious.
Are you enjoying this bread journey?
Yeah, I do something different every time to test. So last night's was 2.
What reel did you post today? I didn't watch the whole thing.
Painting your bread.
Painting your bread. Which makes ugly bread. You're not attractive. Bread, you're not. You're delicious, but you're not.
Just
pretty.
Imagine at Christmas, put a little Christmas tree on, a little Santa hat on.
I saw someone, I think I said this, they did the wafer paper meld onto the bread.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, that is ornate.
That is ornate.
I mean, bread, no offense to bread, and I love it. I love it more than my next breath of air, but it's ugly.
It's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
But you can do pretty scoring flour.
Yeah, and you guys are really trying to make something ugly pretty.
Yeah, we are.
And makeup on a pig, and it's working. I'm eating a lot. I am full of bread.
All right.
That takes us through the podcast. Remember, you will get a bad review.
Remember.
you can't track your bread temperature with bread butter.
Sometimes you can watch people get YouTube hoarding.
That is it.
Bye.